Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Hello, everyone. It is so good to be back with you, and I just wanted to give you a little update. It was 11 weeks ago that we had a brain stroke. Thought it was vertigo at the beginning, but it wasn't. It was a brain stroke. It took them a few days to find it, the brain, that is. But they did find, once they found the brain, they did find the stroke, so it was fine. But we were about almost a week in the hospital, and a wheelchair was about 2 weeks, and then we went from the wheelchair. I just bypassed the walker and just started walking, you know. So, but we're doing well. At the beginning it was about a 10 bad, and we're somewhere around a 2.5 to a 3, and we're doing a lot better. And we're still going through outpatient therapy. Hopefully, sometime in January, I'll get to drive again. My wife would really appreciate that. She drives good. But she don't drive the way I drive. No, but no, she's been there the whole time and done a great job. And I just want to say thank you to this house. I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for praying for me, for praying for us, and to support us, and calls and cards and texts and all that. You don't really know how much that meant to me and to us. And we're making, like I said, we're making progress, and hopefully we'll be back in the pulpit sometimes in January. That's what we're looking for, and driving. So I emphasize that again. But I just want to say thank you for your prayers. Continue to pray for us, because we're making a lot of progress, and being able to walk. And I still have the dizziness from time to time. And they're still working on what they call remapping the brain. So I have to do these things and exercise and move eye movement, and sometimes just riding in a car can cause me some dizziness. But I haven't done that in a couple of weeks now. So that's improvement. So we're getting better day by day, little by little. And I really want to say thank you. And I wanted to say Merry Christmas to everyone. And right before Terry comes up, I do want to share just a little bit about this thing with Christmas and what it really means to me, and what it's always meant. But sometimes you begin to know things a little bit deeper as you grow older in Christ, and you learn, and revelation comes. And what impressed me a lot in the Christmas story was Mary. We take it for granted sometimes, but the angel shows up to her and says that she's going to have a child and all that. So, but see, she don't know that. That's not written in the scriptures. It is written that he's coming. Doesn't have her name in it, but she doesn't know that. But the angel shows up and brings an impossible task for her to live in. And I often think about sometimes we have what we would consider, this is just impossible. I don't know how this is ever going to work out. Mary had that same thought when the word came, how can this thing be? And we've all experienced that. How can this be in our Christian walk? God wants us to live the fullest, and we say, how can this thing be? But what we fail to realize sometimes is Mary received a fresh word, not a written word with her name. It was in the scripture that he's coming, but here's an announcement that is personal to her. And it was a fresh word that came to her that this was going to happen. So she had a choice to make, to either believe this fresh word that came. But see, the Bible says that nothing, and when she said, how can this be? He said, nothing is impossible for the Lord. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. But when you study that nothing out, it's no thing. That, listen to that word, thing is rhema, which means a freshly spoken word of God. She had a fresh word of God come through an angel that said nothing, no rhema, no freshly word of God coming to you. Impossible means shall not find its fulfillment in him. It will not be without the power to fulfill it. So when you look at it deeper than what we've known it to be, we begin to understand that she had a fresh word of God to come to her. And even though she sees that there's a lot of things that could go wrong in this thing, she chose to believe that what was given to her was fresh from God, and that no rhema, that's what the word says, nothing, no freshly spoken word of God will be without his power to complete it. So for you and I, we have the Bible and we have God speaking to us. That's the reason why you're here. I really believe God, by the Spirit of God, has led you to this place. So there's been some speaking of God in your life. And we have to realize that all in our life, that a fresh word from God, when God tells us something, we need to hang on to this thing that says, no fresh word given to me by God will ever be without his power to fulfill it. So I want to encourage you that during this next year, that there's going to be a lot of things that God's going to be giving you and I to do. Some things will be surprises that didn't even know that was coming, just like this, didn't even know it. I've never been in a hospital before, 74 years, never in a hospital, never taken medicine, never done anything. And then all of a sudden, this comes, you know. But in the process of all this, you get closer to the Lord, because you know that he has us, and he's going to complete the task that he started from the beginning. Amen. Merry Christmas, everybody. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Mary was spoken to by the angel. A fresh word, a rhema word, a now word, a personalized word to her. And all she had to do is hear what they were saying and act on it. Hear on it and say, according to, you know, so be it. So be it. And I think that's the charge that God's definitely put on my life, and hopefully maybe your life this morning, that God's still speaking. And he's the gift of Christmas, he's still giving. And we have to be like Mary and be in a position that we're listening and actually hearing what the fresh word of God is saying to us for this moment, for this time. You know, just like Pastor brought it up, just like Mary, you and I have the written word. We have the Logos right here. But it's that rhema word. It's that fresh word. It's that word that he's saying right now, Terry, this is what I've got. This is your daily bread. This is what you need to do right now in this situation and right now. I want to talk to you about the greater gift. Jesus is the greater gift. and about unpacking him this Christmas. And this came to me when we were moving some things around the house, and I was going through. We had to make some rooms and change some things and some stuff, and some of my books were downstairs in our hallway and up on there. And one of the books was my mother's Bible from college. She gave it to me when I got ordained years ago. She gave me her Bible that she went through college with. And in it is all the writings that the professor that she sort of really looked up to. And that guy actually turned out to be somebody. He came around later on. You might know him, Jack Hayford. That was her professor in college back then. And see, she just fell in love with this professor in college and writing down all that stuff. And, oh, and he said this. And he had a rhema word. He had a fresh word. And so I get to sort of take a snapshot of what my mom was hearing God say in 1968. And then it got to John and Pastor Terry. It convicted me because I got to thinking as a parent. You know, every year, and maybe you guys are like this, you can find yourself getting concerned about gifts. Did I get enough gifts for the spouse? Did I get enough gifts for the kids? Did I get enough gifts for the family? And we get consumed a little bit about the gift giving, you know. And then I thought, well, last Sunday we had communion. What is communion? What is communion? Communion is just a symbolic thing that we do so that we do what Jesus said to do, which is remember. Remember, and so I got to thinking, you know, sometimes I forget that it's okay to give gifts. I love gifts. I love giving them. I love receiving them. But it's a symbolic thing to understand what Jesus did, that he is. And when we get our concerns on anything but that, we sort of get, it would be like us coming in here and fussing over what kind of juice we used, right? Or are we using sourdough bread or the crackers? Or you know what? You know, that would be the equivalent of how I get in about gifts sometimes. And so it convicted me a little bit when I saw that Bible, because I got to thinking, I don't remember what I got as a child. I don't remember anything, except maybe that BMX dirt bike. I do remember that. I wanted it so bad. But outside of that, I don't remember any of my Christmas gifts. But you know what I do remember is the spiritual gifts that my mother gave me, my grandmother gave me, my pastor has given me, my mentors in life has given me. I cherish those more than any gift that will ever be under a Christmas tree. And so I was convicted might be a little bit too harsh of a word, but I was recommitted to the fact that the importance I have as a father, the importance I have as a husband, the importance I have as a member with you guys is, yes, to give, but more importantly, to focus on, I want to give you what God has given me. Those spiritual truths, those revelations, those how-tos. You know, sometimes you can be around someone. I've been around this man and seen him. He didn't even teach me a lesson, didn't even say anything. I just watched him. And I said, that's truth. Because, you know, some things are taught and some things are caught. Right? And there's two ways that we receive spiritual gifts, right? One is a conduit of faith. He said it, and I believe it, right? And, you know, and whether I believe it or not, it's settled because he said it, right? But when I believe it, I get to engage in it because the faith cometh by hearing, hearing by what? So I access the gifts that he has for me now and forever by accessing his word. And how do I access his word? By listening and hearing and leaning forward and saying, what are you saying, Father? And what do you mean by that? And, okay. So I want to really dig in this morning about the greater gift, the gifts that he's given us. And I want you to, there's two passages that we're going to be going back and forth in, if you get your Bibles out. One I just mentioned there, which is Romans 10:17, and the other one is 2 Timothy 1-6. The two ways I see that Christ gets us these gifts, that they're conduits, is number one, just you have to have faith. You have to access them through faith. But the other thing is the way Paul gave Timothy spiritual gifts. How did Paul give Timothy spiritual gifts? It says that in 2 Timothy 1:6. It says, by the laying on of hands, he says, stir up the gift. Flame it into a fire, Timothy, that I was giving you by the laying on of hands. Now, here's the thing. He alludes to the fact that Timothy was born into a very faithful family, had spiritual heroes in his life. But the way those gifts were activated was what? By the mentorship, by the hands-on, day-to-day, life of walking together and seeing things. And so what that tells me is this. I'm going to access these gifts and these things that God has for me in 2024 and going on into 2025 by faith and by allowing other people to speak into my life and to touch my life. You know, that we're not, because here's the thing. I can hear sometimes some things and I can look at it in word, but I might need to go to Pastor Terry and say, here's what I'm hearing. And he says, boy, that ain't what that means. Where did you get that from? Because you know why? I'm human. And sometimes I read in the word rather than read out of the word. Has anyone ever done that before? You know, you've got a certain thought towards something, and so everything you see is just sort of reflecting back that thought, and so you need someone to go with what? Break up the pattern. Say, no, I challenge you on that. Look at it this way. So let's get into this. There are three gifts we're going to look over, three types of gifts, if you will. There are motivational gifts, manifestation gifts. That's easy for you to say. Manifestation gifts and also ministry gifts. Those are the three types that we'll look at. And here's the thing I want to charge you with this morning is to really understand that these gifts that God has for us, they have practical utility in our day-to-day life. They actually will help you in your day-to-day experience. Do you believe that? It's not just sometimes when we get into church and we talk about spiritual matters, what happens? We talk about them in such a way, in such a platitude, in such a spiritualized way, we don't understand how they come to earth and they touch us and they give us a practical, tactical way of conducting life so we can see the fulfillment of God in our lives today. So there's a real reason that he gives us this. It's not just to, to perform magic. It's not just that, but there's a real reason. So there's some benefits. Number one, if you look over in 1 Corinthians, you don't have to go there, but 1 Corinthians 12:4-7 says this, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before the great. And Proverbs 18:16 says, echoes that principle as well. So what's the first thing? The gift that God has given you, the practical reason number one, it opens doors for you. There's a reason why God has bestowed upon you certain gifts and certain spiritual gifts. Number two, it provides security and stability. Thank God. How many has been in good seasons and bad seasons? You've had ups and you've had downs. You've had plenty and you've had not. But you know, the one thing I have figured out as I've gotten a little bit older is through the ups and the downs, the one thing is constant in my life is God doesn't take back what he's given me. So every gift, you know what? I have been up and I've been down, but regardless of my state, I can go over that piano right now and get with God and just start playing and just start entering into his presence. That is a gift. And I don't take it lightly. No bankruptcy court, no tax credit, no, nobody can take that from you, can they? The things of God are irrevocable. So when God gives you something, it is yours. And what does that do? It brings security and stability into who I am. It brings security. I can be up and I can be down, but I'm still a child of God. And everything that he's given me from day one, I still have. And so I still bank on. Number three, it empowers the church and it promotes unity in the church. How do I know that? Because in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it also says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to the what? Common good. You know, Charlie is an incredible musician. But you know what? The gift that Charlie's got is not just for Charlie. We got to experience it this morning. John is an incredible preacher. But you know what? It's not just for John. I get to experience the gift that's in John. He gave John a gift so Terry could benefit. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? That the gift that we have been given. And so here's the thing. We got to start thinking about these things that God has given us. You should want them. Sometimes we get into, I'm just such and such from so and so. No, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you should want everything that God has for you for the express purpose of this. It helps everybody. We need you to show up and to show out, to be all that God has created you to be. There is no rewards for playing second place in the kingdom of God. God's called you to first place. And so you should, there's this false humility. No, be who God's called you to be. Lean into it. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and help me. So it empowers that. Number four, it brings maturity and stability. Scripture says, so Christ himself gave the apostles. This is Ephesians 4, 11, 13. These are the ministry gifts. It says Christ gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and equipped his people for what? The work of service so that they body Christ may be built up into what? The unity of faith and the knowledge of Son and become what? Mature. When we start operating and start showing and displaying the greatness on the inside of us, one of the things it does is it brings maturity to us and others. Number five, it brings joy and blessings to others. In Romans 12, 6, it says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. Sixth benefit is it reveals God's power in your weakness. I love one of my favorite verses. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, Terry. For my power is what? It is made perfect when you will accept the fact, boy, you weak. Now, I'm sorry, that's the TW3 translation there, so I take a little freedom there, so I apologize. It demonstrates God's love. 1 Corinthians says this in chapter 13, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and knowledge but do not have love, I am nothing. So what happens is it forces me into a situation, boy, you better learn to love. I mean, I can play like Mozart, I can speak like William Billy Shakespeare. It doesn't matter. If I have love, what does it mean? Absolutely nothing. So one of the things that the gifting of God on you and in you in your life is going to force you into a position where you got to learn to love. And it's not human nature, but it is supernatural, natural. And that's where God wants us. The eighth benefit it gives us is it empowers us to be an effective witness. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be able to do what? Witness. Number nine, it'll bring spiritual fulfillment. That's another benefit. It brings spiritual fulfillment. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. These are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And a tenth benefit, I'm just running through some things because I want you to understand the fact that this is not for personal self-consumption. This is just not for spiritual piety. There is a real reason why we should seek out and want every gift and good gift that God has given us. But here's the other thing is it says this in 1 Peter 4:10. He says, if anyone serves, they should do with the strength of God that he provides so that in all things God may be praised through Christ Jesus. So it helps you and it strengthens you and it empowers you to serve, okay? So if you want to, the three categories of gifts, and you're saying, well, Terry, what all is all this? I mean, sometimes, especially depending on the denomination, you say gift, your mind goes to automatically a certain thing, right? You know, and if you're in another camp, well, those aren't available today. I was studying this, and it reminded me of this Christmas movie that Terry loves. This is his favorite Christmas movie. If y'all have it on DVD, give it to him. He wants to watch it. It's a Christmas story. It's about the kid who wants the That's not true. Remember, all he wanted was the Red Rider? The Red Rider BB gun. And what did everybody tell him? You'll shoot your eye out. But haven't we done that as believers in some cases? We see the misuse of a gift. And so what do? You don't want that. You'll put your eye out or somebody else. Right? Isn't it human nature? So, but God, in his infinite wisdom, will give kids loaded guns sometimes. Learn sheep, boy. But you know, there are some gifts that you got to be careful with. You can hurt yourself, and you can hurt other people. But that doesn't mean you don't seek them. And it doesn't mean they're not available for you today. It just means, hey, point that in the right direction. And don't rest your finger on the trigger. You got to use them the right way. But they're all types of gifts. But let's get into motivational gifts. You'll find the motivational gifts in Romans 12, 6 through 8. The motivational gifts typically in the body. And what's so funny, because Pastor Terry's done some great teaching and training on this. Others have done this. And I've heard some of the teachings on this. Motivational gifts is typically where you will see conflict in any organization, church included, schools, workplace, everything. Because why? When you get to what motivates people, what you're getting at is what their value system is. The hierarchy of their value system. And here's why I bring this up to you today. As we read through this list of motivational gifts, think to yourself, which one really resonates with me? Matter of fact, I'll put it in other terms. If our church doesn't do this on a regular basis, I don't feel like they're doing what God's called them to. Because we should be doing, but yeah, that's the way we think, don't we? Because, hey, because everybody's got their own idea of what should be a priority in the body of Christ, don't they? Well, what's that speaking to? Your motivational gift. So here's the thing I would encourage you today. Embrace it. Accept it. Be a voice and advocate that we need to be doing this here. But also accept the fact there's other people with other motivational gifts. Which means their value system is different than yours. Which means if we understand that going forward, we won't be tempted by the enemy to do what? Start casting aspersions. Start casting judgments. Well, they're not as spiritual as me because they ought to be doing this. And what we're really getting at, and this thing translates, I love this, that it comes from the Bible. But I use this, if someone asked me the other day, how do you get into your conflict resolution stuff that you do in business? Straight from the Bible. Straight from the Bible. Because God's wisdom is mutable. It transcends all walks of life. Because if there's people in the room, God's truth will affect it. Right? So when we get into Romans 12, 6 through 8, we see that there is a motivational gift of prophecy. What is prophecy? Declaring God's truth, encouraging and correcting others, and speaking, thus saith the Lord. We see that there's motivational gifts of ministry or serving, providing practical and help. And so, you know, I think that is great. The ministry of service and providing help. And that kind of things. How many through this past tragedy we had in September and saw the way Eric and some of our leaders in the church responded and how we got involved with the community? You almost had a sense, hey, we're doing something now. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But what that's speaking to is my motivation of what ministry looks like and is now resonating. Embrace that. That is part of the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing, right? So embrace it. I love it. Teaching. Some people believe church is all about teaching, just learning. If we can just learn more, we can do more, right? There's nothing wrong with that. It's supposed to be. That's the motivation. Encouraging and exhortation. These are folks that are motivated and inspiring others to grow in faith. Exhortation. Giving, sharing resources, and generally with joy. Leadership. Guiding organizations that are effect. Mercy, the gift of mercy. How many believe that unless someone comes into the church and they're greeted and they're loved on and they're heard, and which is all true. Everything I'm saying up here is true. But what that's speaking to is that's your motivation. I want everybody to be recognized, to be touched, to let them know I see you. And that's speaking to your mind. Lean into that. That is a gift from God. Don't, and because here's why I say all that. You'll see so-and-so does this, but such-and-such does this. And then all of a sudden, you start comparing yourself to others. And you start trying to be like someone else. Because this is what you think ministry looks like. And it takes the whole body of Christ. Folks, this is why we have a church. And this is why we have more than three people. We need everybody in here. Everybody in here that comes with, that are motivated, inspired differently. We need you. And we need you giving voice to that, right? But we need you, and I need to understand that just because, listen, y'all probably know what mine is. I feel as a speaker, when I get up here, the first thing I ask my family is, did I encourage them? Did I motivate them? Did they feel encouraged? Why? Because I'm an exhorter. I want everything. I don't want any songs in a minor key. I want them all in major keys. I want them upbeat. I want every mess. Let's not get into heavy stuff now. Let's make them. Why? Because that's my motivation. But you know what? It's like a seasoning. If all you got was this, then it doesn't taste right, does it? It takes a blend of all of us. It takes the prophetic word saying, Terry, I'm about to hurt your feelings. Well, I need it. I need it. It takes people to say, Terry, pay attention to other people. Why? Oh, you're right. Why? Because I need it. That's where I'm weak. But where we get messed up sometimes, or can, is we start seeing other people motivated differently, and then we're trying to fix them, or we're praying against them, or we're pulling against them, or I wish so-and-so would do such and such. If what they're doing is a function of the Holy Spirit in His Scripture, then encourage them. Amen. Put it in overdrive, baby. Let's do this thing. I can't do it the way you do it, but I see you do it, right? Second set of gifts, types of gifts, is the manifestation gifts. I am going to have a hard time saying that this morning, I can already tell. You can go to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, and 27 through 31. You can see those gifts. Those gifts are words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracle, prophecy, speaking under divine inspiration, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Speak briefly on these. Every one of those at one point in my life I've been touched by. God has worked through me in miraculous ways. I tell a story that there was a year, it was I think 2004, 2005. We're out in Anaheim and we were meeting with some manufacturers about being their logistics company to do fulfillment for them. Now, all of these are 50-cent words about how to deliver things in the background, but here's the point I'm telling you. I was in front of some very important people, and I was like, why am I even here? Does these people even know who I am? I was out of my depth in every way, right? But God put me in that room. Divinely, guy calls me up. How do you guys do this? I tell him, we're just a bunch of dumb rednecks from Rutherford County. Nobody told us we couldn't do it, so we started doing it. That was my answer. I didn't go to school for it. I didn't learn how to do it. I just started doing it. Well, then they wanted to hire us to do it because they couldn't figure out how to do it. And it was plainly obvious to me how to do it, but they didn't know how to do it. And so I get in this room. This man starts asking these questions. And I'm going to tell you, as God is my witness standing here, the Holy Spirit filled my mouth. I started speaking in English about terms I have no idea what they meant. And signed a contract. And walked out of there, and the person with me says, where did you learn all that? I said, I don't even know what I said. I don't even know what I said. Pastor Terry's got a story about back when he was down at Hertz Selenese, and all the engineers and all the king's men, they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And so they came in, and they're trying to figure out how to fix this electronic piece. And they had all these capacitors on here. And they could not, and they're doing all this testing, all this other thing. He walks in and just puts his finger across like it was a Braille board. And what they didn't know that he told me the secret later, the one that was hot, I said, that's the problem right there. Fix that one. And they look, all these German engineers and all these people around, I don't know how to do that. And I'm like, I'm from Edmond, and that's what they do over in Chapman. You know? But what is that? That's divine knowledge, a word of wisdom. I'm telling you what, when we start leaning in on the Holy Spirit, He will do things that you couldn't do. I mean, and I want to say this in closing, because we'll finish up next week, because there's a lot of, because what I want to do is get into, and this is where I want to head next week. Out of all of the sensories that we have as humanity, as humans, we can see, hear, we can taste, we can touch, we can smell. We have all of these sensories. Why is it that the Holy Spirit chose to use the sense of hearing to say, that's how you're going to discern what the Word of God is saying, so that you can move on that rhema word? When I read this, I'm not hearing it. I'm seeing it. I'm reading it. So, what am I missing, Lord? I mean, your written word has been around since Moses. We had the Pentateuch, and then we had the Torah, and then we had... So why all of a sudden are you... Because the Bible uses all kinds of metaphors all the time. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Behold, which means, look, I am doing a new thing. You know, who touched the hem of my garment? Because I felt... So he's always... So in studying for this and really digging into this, I was like, Holy Spirit, why did you draw our attention to hearing? Because I know it can't be literal, physical hearing. Because to say that's to say what? Any deaf person couldn't get saved. Right? Because how are they to hear the Word of God? So it can't mean that. Because I got two deaf people in my family. I know they're born again, going to heaven. So that can't be the reality. So what are you saying? You're going to find that interesting. We'll get into that. But it blew my mind. I'll just say that. It blew my mind why the Holy Spirit picked out that sensory to say, this is how you will discern what the rhema word of God is for you today. And it's just amazing. But that is an access point that we receive. But manifestation gifts, I was going to go back to that. I just wanted to say this as a child that grew up in the Pentecostal church and the charismatic movement, we always emphasize tongues. I just want to talk about the elephant in the room for just a minute here, if you don't mind. And I'm not going to get in any waters that's going to get me in trouble, so everybody just relax. Pastor Terry's going, you're making me dizzy, Terry. It is the weakest gift. The Bible says that. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. And that's used sometimes to beat up on it. I would tell you that it is the weakest gift, just like the letter A and the letter B and any letter in the alphabet is the weakest part of a sentence. And the sentence is the weakest part of a paragraph, and the paragraph is the weakest part of the book. All I'm saying is this. For me personally, what God did through that gift was teach me a spiritual muscle memory that's what it feels like physically, spiritually, psychologically, to let go and let God animate. And so I have been in rooms where all of a sudden, Charlie, I didn't know what the scale was. I didn't know what key was in, but all of a sudden I'm playing a solo that I don't have the education to be able to do. But that was the Spirit of God flowing through me. I've been in business meetings, like I just alluded, where I didn't speak in tongues. I didn't speak in Spanish. I spoke in English. But it was the Holy Spirit coming through me and animating me. And all I'm saying is this. If you've ever put a judgment against that, don't. Because there's one thing I have learned is you duplicate what you appreciate. And if I want to duplicate the manifestation of God in my life, if I want to see it grow, and I want to be able to lean on Him in every scenario, in every setting, in every situation, I need to be okay with just releasing my psychological hands off of a situation. You guys probably know this, I'm a little bit of an analytical person. I like to break things five ways from Sunday on something. But you know what? For the Spirit of God to move in me, I have to release that. I have to let that go. I can't approach life like on a piano and say, okay, I'm in the key of C, and here's all the da-da-da. I just have to not even think about it and say, God, do what you're going to do. But I'm telling you what, when we start letting some of these manifestational gifts appropriately, because the Bible has got a way of manifesting his gifts, okay, but appropriately allowing through what his word says, hold the gun the right way, aim it in the right direction, you're going to be amazed of how that will translate over into other things in your life. All of a sudden, you'll be writing things one day, and the Holy Spirit just will go through you. You'll be typing things. You'll be talking. You'll be in a situation with your family, your children, and your instinct is to do this, but all of a sudden, because you've trained up the spiritual muscle inside of you, you see, oh, and you start responding completely different. You start saying, why? Because now I know what a rhema word needs to, because this is the word that needs to be spoken today. So as we go into Christmas, folks, family, parents, grandparents, children, I want to really encourage you, enjoy the company, enjoy the family, enjoy the gifts. But understand this, it's all a metaphor for the greater gift. And if we get distracted, and I'm not trying to be, you know, pious and, you know, I'm not. I'm just trying to say, allow that to be, because what that Bible that I was able to discover in pulling out my books, it was a touch point. It was a physical touch point that brought my mind and my spirit back to some of the greatest gifts I've ever been given. And it came from the laying on of hands and the word of faith that came to me that now I get to enjoy to this day. I get to enjoy to this day. So as you give out your gifts, as you receive your gifts, understand this. This is a symbolic representation of the goodness of God on our lives and how he is here for us, and he's here to manifest in ways we never thought, dreamed could be even possible. So I just want to encourage you, as you sit down Wednesday morning and you get around the Christmas tree, you understand there's another tree that's a cross, and at the foot of that is the greatest gift we've ever been given. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, I thank you this morning for your people. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the greater gift, which is you, and how you choose to manifest in our lives and choose to show up in our lives, and how you choose to equip us in different ways, and how you motivate us different. And God, I want to say thank you for making Father's Vineyard a church of so many diverse people of different giftings, of different backgrounds, of different understandings, of coming together for one common cause, and that is to lift your name up, to lift your name on high, and to be more and more like you as we bear your fruit. So, Lord, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for the season, and I thank you for calling us all back to taking a moment to be thankful for the greater gifts. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.